What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the First Team All-Pro Podcast. This is episode 53 with your host, LT Nasty. And we got a lot to talk about today. We'll be talking about NFL Week 3 and Week 4. We'll be recapping all the news, headlines, and highlights, and also be giving a preview of the MLB postseason because the MLB regular season has officially come to a close. So we'll be previewing the wild card matchups and the potential divisional round matchups once those wild card series are over. So anyway, let's hop right into it. Probably the biggest news out of the last 2 weeks in the NFL. Everyone knows it. It was the injury, the Tua Tagovailoa. And I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. And everyone, I can safely say everyone shares the same opinion as me. Tua should not have played against the Bengals in week four. Because after that hit he took in week three against the Bills by Bills linebacker Matt Milano, he shouldn't even have played the rest of the game. He shouldn't even played the rest of that game in Miami. And the fact that he apparently cleared concussion protocol at halftime against the Bills, I don't buy it. I absolutely don't buy it. Not one bit. Not one bit. And we saw it clear as day because the doctor who evaluated him has just been fired. If anyone's been paying attention, the doctor who evaluated Tua Tagovailoa has just been recently fired. So, but here's my point. The Dolphins, they're a complete shipwreck right now. I don't care what their record is. They could win every single game until the season, regular season ends, and go on a deep run to the Super Bowl or whatever. But that's the thing. No one would care about that because everyone's going to remember what just happened with Tua. The medical team, the medical staff of both the Dolphins and the NFL, they're in complete incompetence. And they almost ruined Tua's NFL career and his life. And, like, think about that. Think about that, which, and that being said, that brings up my next point. The NFL player safety is almost non-existent. It's completely non-existent. I mean, this is just another black eye on the NFL and the Miami Dolphins. Like, this is just if this surprises any of you, if this comes to a surprise to any of you, you really shouldn't be surprised because there was an incident 2 years ago, and I'm sure a lot of people know about this one, when Tyrod Taylor, he suffered a punctured lung because of a mishandling by the team doctor. And he ended up suing the team doctor for a medical malpractice, I believe it was. And it was just, it was a huge story. And this was, I believe it was in 2020. So it was 2 years ago that happened. But that just continues to prove my point. Where's the player safety? In my opinion, it doesn't matter how many, you know, rules or whatever the NFL implements or, you know, to adhere to player safety, they're not fixing it one bit. They don't care. That's just my honest opinion. They do not care about the players one bit. And this injury with Tua is just another example. Just another example of the NFL and NFL teams / organizations failing to protect their players. And like I said, Tua's life and career was nearly ruined because of this. And I would not be surprised if Tua ended up suing the doctor. Would not surprise me at all. Would not, or the Dolphins, or the entire like Dolphins medical staff or the organization. It would not surprise me at all. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Like I said, even if the Dolphins were to go deep into the playoffs and go on to win the Super Bowl, no one's going to be talking about that. No one's going to be talking about that. Everyone's going to be talking about the injury to Tua Tagovailoa and the complete incompetence of the Dolphins medical staff and the NFL medical staff. And it's not going to go away. No one's going to like go to sleep, wake up, and completely forget about it. It's going to be hanging around for a very long time. And the same thing as the same thing with the Tyrod Taylor situation when he punctured his lung, as I mentioned before, as a result of the medical malpractice. But yeah, it's when I first saw that, I honestly couldn't believe that. Like, I was kind of like in shock, but at the same time, I really wasn't shocked because, like I said before, the NFL really doesn't seem to care about player safety. And again, that's just my opinion. Either way, it was just incredibly frustrating to watch. You know, and I'm not a fan of the Dolphins, but watching Tua get carted off the field, or I should say stretchered off the field because he got put into a stretcher from that Bengals game, it really angered me. It really angered me because that was a completely preventable situation. That was completely preventable, and let me explain why. Regardless, like I said, going back to week three, it doesn't matter if Tua had cleared concussion protocol at halftime against the Bills. That moment where he briefly collapsed, that should have been a sign to keep him on the sidelines. That should have been the sign to bring in the backup. That should have been the sign to put Tua on the IR. What did the Dolphins do? Let's roll him out for week four against the Bengals, even though he was completely, really visibly injured. And everyone knew it, and they still played him. They still played him in week four against the Bengals. Oh, my God. And I know, like, I'm really frustrated. And it was incredibly frustrating. It really was. And all of a sudden, and after all this, the Dolphins just now put him on the IR. They just now put him on the IR. Not after the game against the Bills. They did it, you know, after he was visibly injured. Just now, following that game against the Bengals, when he got stretchered off to the hospital. Like, and he won't be playing against the Jets, but they should have not let him play the rest of that game against Buffalo. That's my point. They should have kept him on the sideline, let him heal up, let him rest, have, you know, the backup, which is Teddy Bridgewater, let him start for however many weeks. You know, if it's the rest of the season, so be it. They should have just let Tua recover. Let Tua rest up, you know, take it slow. Instead, the Dolphins rushed them back in the week four, and oh my God, and that happened. Anyway, those are my thoughts and opinions on that. But with that being said, and I'm sorry if I sound frustrated, because that was incredibly, like I said, that was incredibly frustrating to watch. Those last 2 weeks, Because again, I have red zone. So I was watching every single game, and watching those two Dolphins games, it was just incredibly frustrating to watch Tua get thrown out there for a second straight week, even though he was visibly injured. It was incredibly frustrating. And like I said before, I'm not even a Dolphins fan. But anyway, that being said, let's move on to the biggest surprises of through the first 4 weeks. And what I mean by this is surprises in the standings. The biggest surprises to me in the standings are it really comes out of the NFC East. And my favorite team plays in the NFC East. I am a Giants fan. And it's surprising because the NFC East, the last couple of years, anyone who roots for a team in the NFC East or has been paying attention to the NFC East, you know, the last 2 years, that division was terrible. Let's be honest. I mean, 2020, the 2020 season, the where no fans were allowed to attend games, basically the COVID season. Not one team in the NFC East was above 500. Not one of them. And then, of course, 2021, the Cowboys were. But again, it was usually a one team. The last couple of years, it's been a one team division. And now it's honestly a breath of fresh air to see the NFC East competitive again. The Eagles are 4-1. That kind of annoys me. Actually, really annoys me, considering I am a Giants fan. But still, give them credit. They've been dominating their opponents they've been playing. Also, the Cowboys are 3-1. The Giants are 3-1, and then of course the Washington Commanders, led by Carson Wentz, are 1-3. But that's besides the point. It's just a breath of fresh air to see the NFC East actually competitive, where, you know, it's not a one team division. You know, every team has somewhat of a chance to win the division. So it's been really interesting to see that through the first 4 weeks of the season. And the thing is, going back to that, the most interesting part about it is the Cowboys are 3-1 and they have Cooper Rush as their quarterback. Yes, you heard me correct. Heard me correctly. They are 3-1 with Cooper Rush starting as their quarterback. Not Dak Prescott, Cooper Rush. You did not mistake that. You did not mishear that. So it's been incredible to watch. And I don't know. Hopefully it continues to be a really competitive division for years to come, as well as even this season. I would love to see, you know, I'd love to see the Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles all in a dogfight to see who clinches the division with like 2 weeks left in the season. That would be incredible to watch. That would be great for football. That would be great for football ratings. I mean, that would be incredible. A division where three of the four teams are trying to step over one another for the division. That would be great. But also, the second biggest surprise that I saw was the AFC South. Let's start there. The Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars. They are 2-2, and they're leading the AFC South. Which, I don't know how they're doing it, because I'm going to be honest. I was going to give my predictions for the AFC South. I think I don't think I gave my predictions. Because, again, my last episode was, just going into detail that football was back, that the NFL was back. So I don't think I gave my predictions this year. But I was, I thought the Colts were going to take the AFC South. And the Colts have been playing like complete dog water. it's crystal clear. I mean, but the fact that the Jaguars, the team that was quite literally the worst team in the NFL last year, it's the fact that they're currently leading the AFC South, that is a shocker. I wouldn't have never have guessed that. I would have never have guessed that they would be leading the division through the first 4 weeks the following season. Let's actually double check to make sure. Yeah, the Jaguars were 3-14 last year. 3-14. And you know, this is of course to be fair, last year they also had the deal with the BS of Urban Meyer. So it makes sense that they're off to a better start this season. Anyway, that was one of the biggest surprises so far this year. Seeing the Jaguars at the top of their division. Another shocking thing to note, the AFC North. What is happening over here? The Browns are leading the AFC North. They're 2-2. The Ravens are 2-2. The Bengals are 2-2, and the Steelers are 1-3. Like, what is happening? What is happening over there? The Browns, the Cleveland Browns, they're leading the AFC North. No offense to Browns fans, but no one saw the Browns after the whole drama with Baker Mayfield and sending him to Carolina. No one. And I can tell you, no one thought the Browns were going to be leading the AFC North through the first 4 weeks. And if you did say the Browns were going to be leading the AFC North, well, I guess they're technically tied with the Ravens and Bengals for the top of the division. But still, if you were going to tell me, if you said that the Browns would be leading the division through the first 4 weeks, I'd say you're a liar. I'd say you're a liar. But that's another conversation for another day. But anyway, another one more shocking thing to note through the first 4 weeks: how terrible the Broncos and Raiders are right now. And I know a lot of Broncos fans are gonna get at me. And say, oh, well, we're 2-2. Like, yeah, well, your team also plays in a division with Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Derek Carr. So, like, good luck, Broncos fans, because I'm going to be honest with you. Even with Russell Wilson as the quarterback, you are not overtaking the Chargers. Or the Chiefs for a potential division title. I just don't see it happening. I do not see the Broncos winning the AFC West the way they've been playing, especially during the Seahawks game when it was Russell Wilson's return to Seattle. I mean, it was just like that already. That game on its own was a sign that it's going to be somewhat of a rough season for the Broncos. And you want even more evidence? You want more evidence? You only scored 11 points against the 49ers. You scored 16 against the Texans. And you lost to the Raiders. You lost to the Raiders, who were 0-3 up until that point. They were 0-3 up until that point. And like I said, it doesn't really get easy for the Broncos. Like, it really doesn't get easier. I mean, yeah, there's a few winnable games in between, but you have to play the Chargers in week 6. You have to play the Raiders again, and you have to play the Chiefs twice in the final couple of weeks. And you play the Broncos, and the Broncos play the Chargers again in the final week of the season. So, and I'm going to be honest, looking at the Broncos schedule right now, those last three, four, maybe 5 weeks, that's going to determine your season. Were they December 11th where they play the Chiefs, December 18th where they play the Cardinals, the 25th, Christmas Day, when they play the Rams, January 1st, New Year's Day, when they play the Chiefs again, and then the last game of the regular season when they play the Chargers again. Those are going to be the weeks that really determine what that team is made of. And I'm not dismissing the other games they got in their schedule, but like, and with that being said, if you don't win the games against the Colts or the Jets or the Jaguars or Titans, then I'm sorry, Broncos fans, you're really screwed. And those are all games coming up on the schedule. And plus, after, like I said, after the Colts game, after the game against the Colts, you have to face Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Like I said, good luck with that. But like I said, I'm not convinced, even if this Broncos team did make the postseason, I'm not convinced they're going to be doing anything, especially with their play calling, with their play calling, especially after that Seattle game. Personally, Broncos fans, this is just me, after that Seahawks game, after that game against the Seahawks, I wouldn't trust Nathaniel Hackett moving forward. That's just my opinion. Anyway, enough of that. And I'm sure after that segment, I'm sure Broncos fans are all going to be coming for my throat. They're going to be trying to, you know, leave angry voicemails or leave angry comments. Anyway, that being said, what else for the biggest surprises? I think that's really it, in terms of the biggest surprises, in the standings anyway. I think that's really it. Yeah. I mean, aside from, you know, the Buccaneers being 2-2, I mean, not really a whole lot more to really talk about from the last couple of last 2 weeks, because I already got most of it out of the way. So let's head on over to the MLB postseason. It's going to get interesting. Let's first start with the division clinchers, because there were a few other teams that just clinched their division. Let's start with the Mets. Mets fans, I'm going to ask you this. Are you okay? Like, I'm being dead serious. Are you okay? Because the Mets, your team led the NL East for... They led the division for 175 days. This is according to an Instagram post by MLB on Fox. The Mets were in first place for 175 days. And Mets fans, you're not going to like what I have to say next. The Braves spent a grand total of 8 days this season in first place. 8 days. Is it really shocking that the Braves won the NL East? Not really. They're the defending World Series champions. They won the NL East for the last four years heading into this season. So now make that five straight seasons where the Braves won the NL East. But Not a good look, Mets fans. Not a good look. Yeah. Also, the Phillies. The Phillies made the playoffs again. Philadelphia will have postseason baseball for the first time since 2011. But let's be honest. That's not – and I know, Philly fans, you want to enjoy it, but that's not the biggest piece of news in terms of the MLB postseason. The Mariners ended their playoff drought. 21 years. 21 long years. They have not made the playoffs since 2001. And they are back in the playoffs. So I want to say this to any Mariners fan out there in this Mariners organization. Congratulations. You absolutely deserve it. It's you guys absolutely deserve it. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy the playoff atmosphere. I know a lot of you Mariners fans have been waiting a long time for this. I am incredibly pumped for you guys. So enjoy it. Take it all in, and like I said, enjoy the ride. Anyway, so what's the let's get to the actual playoff picture now. The teams are all set. It'll be the Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, and Braves all have all clinched, you know, the bye. They just await the winners of the wild card series. The Astros will play the winner of the Blue Jays-Mariners series. The Yankees will play the winner of the Guardians-Rays series. The Braves will play the winner of the Cardinals-Phillies series. And the Dodgers will play the winner of the Mets-Padres series. So that's going to be interesting to note. It's going to be incredible to watch. Incredible to watch. I'll be locked in all postseason. So if another episode doesn't come out for a while, then you know what happened. I'll be watching the World Series, watching the entire MLB postseason. And yeah, also, I'm going to be honest, in terms of the NHL season, I might have to wait for the next episode to do that because I'm honestly running out of time here. I don't want to drag this on for 30 minutes, even though it's going to hit 30 minutes. But one more piece of news before I close out the episode. Aaron Judge has done it. He's the American League single-season home run leader. He bypassed Roger Maris the other day against, and he hit a 62nd home run against the Texas Rangers. So big congratulations to Aaron Judge. I was incredibly excited. And like I said before, any of you have been paying attention, you know how much of a huge Yankees fan I am. And to see that happen, to see it on TV and watch that happen, it was great. Which leads me to another thing before I close out the episode. I was actually at the Yankees' last home game a couple of days ago against the Orioles. I was really looking forward to seeing Judge hit 62, but it didn't happen. But I'm glad to have caught it on television. So either way, I'm really happy about it. And that being said, I'll actually highlight my entire day at the ballpark from the Yankees' last regular season home game. So I'll get into that probably in the next episode, maybe in the episode like 2 weeks from now. But anyway, that's it for me, ladies and gentlemen. This has been your host, LT Nasty. I will see you all in episode 54. And yeah, that's it. Peace.